praise be Jesus and Mary. The gospel in today's liturgy is taken from the fourth chapter of St. John. It's the same chapter where we hear of the famous encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. The story that we heard today is the less famous encounter of the chapter. And it's at the end of the chapter where we hear of Jesus healing an official's son. We remember how Jesus said to the official, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe," verse 48. And then in verse 50, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went away. And then again in verse 53, when it says that after the miraculous healing, the official, quote, himself believed and all his household. Even the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman ends on a similar note. It says this, "Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritan came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." John 4, verses 39 through 42. So that theme of belief is actually the purpose of St. John's Gospel, of why he wrote the Gospel itself. How do we know that? Because he says so in chapter 20 when he says this, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written," he says, "that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John 20, verses 30 and 31. So that's why when you read the Gospel of St. John, that word believe, which in Greek is pisteo, that word is repeated constantly. It is belief that Jesus is the Son of God, God himself, and the Savior of the world that saves us from our sins and from hell and from eternal damnation. But of course, we have to be very clear about what it means to believe. When the New Testament uses that word belief regarding our salvation, it isn't simply saying, "Yes, I believe in my mind and in my heart that Jesus is my Savior." It isn't believing that Jesus is my Savior. It isn't just believing that Jesus is the Savior, the one who saves me, almost like believing that Tom Brady is the best quarterback that ever played in the NFL, which we do believe that he is. No, that word belief has a lot more to it. It's much more significant. In his commentary on the Gospel of St. John, Stephen Ray, who was a Baptist that converted to the Catholic faith, he tells us that that word believe is what's called a synecdoche. So it's a word which is very particular, synecdoche. What does it mean? It means a part that represents a whole. A couple of examples of this. For example, when we say a head of cattle, that word head is a synecdoche for the whole. Or when a boss at work says, "I need more hands on the job," he doesn't just mean that he needs extra physical hands. What he's saying is he needs more workmen. He needs more people on the job. So hands is a synecdoche for workers or workmen. Another example, if we go to a baseball game and we ask the hot dog vendor for a hot dog, he doesn't just hand you a steaming hot dog, he serves it on a bun with condiments in a wrapper, perhaps with a bag of peanuts as well. So what it is, again, that word hot dog is a synecdoche. It means everything that comes with the hot dog when you purchase it. So too, for St. John, believe is a synecdoche. Again, it doesn't just mean simply saying, "Yes, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I ask him into my life." Belief isn't just, "I agree in my head, and I accept that that is true." Belief includes faith, it includes receiving baptism, it includes obedience, it includes following Christ, taking up our cross, receiving Christ's body and blood worthily in a state of grace, confessing our sins, repentance, performing good works, trusting in God and trusting ourselves to him, and so on. So belief is a synecdoche, as Stephen Ray would say, for being a true follower of Christ, according to St. John, and according to the New Testament. Because in truth, as we said, intellectual belief in Christ doesn't get anyone into heaven. It's God's sanctifying grace in our soul that gets us into heaven. All of the angels, for example, profess belief in Christ. The angels in heaven love Jesus, but the fallen angels, the demons, hate him. We see this in Matthew 8, verse 29. The demons who possessed two men cried out when they saw Jesus. They said, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" And again, in the Gospel of St. Luke, we hear, quote, "And demons also came out of many, crying, 'You are the Son of God.' But Jesus rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ." Luke 4, verse 41. So even the demons believe intellectually in Christ. But again, they hate what they know is true. Likewise, there are many people who profess belief in Christ, but who are not followers of Christ. And Jesus, in the 7th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, tells us that when he returns to earth, many will say to him, quote, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?" And then he will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." That's Matthew 7, verse 22 through 23. Likewise, today the public leaders who profess to be Catholics and pro-choice are not followers of Christ. Those who promote and celebrate sexual lifestyles which are contrary to God's creation and to his commandments are not followers of Christ. Those who compromise their faith and care more about being politically correct than they do about testifying to the truth, they are not followers of Christ either. Those who don't forgive others are not followers of Christ. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, adds this: "Do not be deceived. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor sexual perverts, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of heaven." 1 Corinthians 15:10. But St. Paul, in his fatherly compassion, adds this: "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Verse 11. So just because some of us may be superficial, hypocritical, or even false followers of Christ at this moment in our lives doesn't mean that we need to remain so. If we look at a crucifix, we can see that Jesus is still extending his hands out towards us. He's still raising his hands to the Father in prayer on our behalf, hoping that one day our simple intellectual belief will turn into that saving belief of which John's Gospel speaks, and which countless other sinners have experienced over these last 20 centuries and counting. For most of us, God's saving grace is just one good confession away. So let's enter more deeply into the Lenten season by confessing our sins, by getting right with God, and by getting back onto the path of eternal salvation. With Our Lady's grace, we will do it. Praise be Jesus and Mary.